having embraced her, got into his coach and proceeded on his journey. Her neighbours and good friends did not wait to be sent for by the newly married lady, so great was their impatience to see all the rich furniture of her house, not daring to come while her husband was there, because of his blue beard, which frightened them. They ran through all the rooms, closets, and wardrobes, which were all so rich and fine that they seemed to surpass one another. After that, they went up into the two great rooms, where were the best and richest furniture. They could not sufficiently admire the number and beauty of the tapestry, beds, couches, cabinets, stands, tables, and looking glasses, in which you might see yourself from head to foot. Some of them were framed with glass, others with silver, plain and gilded, the finest and most magnificent which were ever seen. They ceased not to extol and envy the happiness of their friend, who in the meantime in no way diverted herself in looking upon all these rich things, because of the impatience she had to go and open the closet of the ground floor. She was so much pressed by her curiosity that, without considering that it was very uncivil to leave her company, she went down a little back staircase, and with such excessive haste that she had twice or thrice like to have broken her neck. Arriving at the closet door, she made a stop for some time, thinking upon her husband's orders, and considering what unhappiness might attend her if she was disobedient. But the temptation was so strong, she could not overcome it. She took then the little key, and opened it, trembling, but could not at first see anything plainly, because the windows were shut. After some moments, she began to perceive that the floor was all covered over with clotted blood, in which were reflected the bodies of several dead women ranged against the walls. These were all the wives whom Bluebeard had married and murdered one after another. She was like to have died for fear. And the key, which she pulled out of the lock, fell from her hand. After having somewhat recovered her senses, she took up the key, locked the door, and went upstairs into her chamber to recover herself. But she could not, so much was she frightened. Having observed that the key of the closet was stained with blood, she tried two or three times to wipe it off, but the blood would not come off. In vain did she wash it, and even rub it with soap and sand. The blood still remained, for the key was a fairy, and she could never make it quite clean. When the blood was gone off from one side, it came again on the other. Bluebeard returned from his journey the same evening, and said he had received letters upon the road, informing him that the affair he went about was ended to his advantage. His wife did all she could to convince him she was extremely glad of his speedy return. Next morning he asked her for the keys, which she gave him, but with such a trembling hand that he easily guessed what had happened. "What?" he said. "Is not the key of my closet among the rest?"
I must certainly," answered she, "have left it above upon the table."
"Fail not," said Bluebeard, "to bring it me presently." After putting him off several times, she was forced to bring him the key. Bluebeard, having very attentively considered it, said to his wife, "How comes this blood upon the key?"
I do not know," cried the poor woman, paler than death.
"You do not know," replied Bluebeard. "I very well know. You were resolved to go into the closet, were you not?" "Mighty well, madam. You shall go in and take your place among the ladies you saw there." Upon this, she threw herself at her husband's feet, and begged his pardon with all the signs of a true repentance for her disobedience. She would have melted a rock, so beautiful and sorrowful was she. But Bluebeard had a heart harder than any rock. "You must die, madam," said he, "and that..."